Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Lamed Vav. First of all, I'd like to thank Shamshi again for covering the shir yesterday here at BKNW. So Shamshi left off on Lamed Hayam Abayz, two dots, four lines into the wide lines. Today we're going to finish up the third parak of the Masechta, then start the fourth parak of the Masechta. So to wrap up the third parak, we're going to continue with the discussion of a statement, or really an analysis of a statement that Rabbi Bar Nosson made in yesterday's daf, which is the case of Moda B'Miktas, that Tano Chitin V'Hodu Lo B'Sorin is Potter. That usually we know that a Moda B'Miktas is going to be Chayiv, a Shvua. However, that's only if the Hodah is Mimin Hataina. That's only if the Hodah, if the admission, is a part of the thing that was actually claimed of the person to begin with. Yet in the Mishnah, we started talking about two Shvarim that were running after another Shar, and nobody knows exactly which Shar was Mazik the other one. It was two Shvarim running after two Shvarim, and nobody knows which one was Mazik, and the Nizik therefore claims that the large shar damaged his shar, and the Mazik claims that the small shar damaged his shar. So it appeared from the Mishnah that at least if the Nizik couldn't bring a raya that it was the large shar that damaged, he could at least collect from the small shar. So the Gemara now is going to discuss why is that not a case of Tarno Lochitim v'Hodu Lo B'Sorin, that you claim it was a large shar, the other guy claims it was a small shar. The small shar is not part of, it's not a partial admission. It's he's claiming that a different animal caused the damage. So why should he be chayiv to pay anything in that case? So that is going to take us through the end of the perek. And then the fourth perek is going to begin with a case of what happens if a shar, which is a short tom the entire time, gores a bunch of times. And we'll see how a shar could be a shar tom and still gore a bunch of times. And the question is, we know that by a shar tom it pays chatzi nezek megufo. And so at a certain point, the value of the shar tom that's doing the goring is going to be exhausted. And if it's going to be exhausted, the question is, who gets made whole and who has to take a hit on the amount of damages that he is getting? Because we'll see in the Mishnah and then in the Gemara that ensues, it's not going to be possible for every Nizek to get his Chatzi Nezek, because the Shor of Mazik is worth only so much. So who gets full compensation? Who gets a hit on the compensation? Is it the last guy who gets out in full? Is it the first guy who gets out in full? We'll see this discussion, God willing, when we start the fourth parak. But let's first finish up the third parak. And again, we left off four lines down in the wide lines on Laman Hayamid Beis. So says the Gemara like this, Gufa. Amar Rabba Bar Nosson. So Rabba Bar Nosson said that Tano Chit and Vodu Lo B'Sorin is Pater. That in the case of Moda B'Miktas, if a guy claims on wheat and the admission is on barley, then he's going to be Pater. So because again, it's not a Hoda Mimin Ataina. In order to be Chayiv on a Moda B'Miktas, you have to have a Hoda Mimin Ataina. The admission has to be a partial admission in the same thing or of the same thing on which the taina, on which the claim was made, and this isn't the case because the hodah is on Sorin, the taina is on chitin. So that's potter. So says the Gemara, my kamashmalan tanina, what's the chiddush? You already taught this to me. Tanu chitin vadulob sorin potter. That it says in the Mishnah, it says in the Brisa rather that if tanu chitin vadulob sorin is going to be potter. So says the Gemara, no, I still need to teach me this halacha. Why? Because ime hasam hava mina potter mid me chitin v'chayy. I might have thought that your potter from taking chitin, that your potter from paying chitin, but your chayev in seorin. So, in other words, when we say potter, I might think that your potter from taking the shvua moda b'miktas, but rather you are at least obligated to pay that which you admit you owe. Kamash malan de potter legamri. Kamash malan that your potter altogether. And you don't even have to pay Sorin. Now, why wouldn't you have to pay Sorin? If you admit that you owe the guy Sorin, why wouldn't you have to pay it to him? So the Mefarshim explained, because the claimant, when he claims that you owe him Chitin, he's in effect waiving his claim as to Sorin altogether. And so when you say that you owe him Sorin, you're not chayiv to pay him, because the guy who you would otherwise be chayiv to pay already waived a claim in respect of Sorin, so there's no need to pay him. Says the Gemara Vayter, Tnan, Hayu Anizakin Shnayin, if there were two oxen that were being chased by two other oxen, and again, over here it's the case where the Nizik is trying to say that your large ox damaged my large ox, and your small ox damaged my small ox, that the damage should match up, right? And we had said that if the Nizik brings a raya, great, and if not, then he collects from. Then it appears that he collects from at least the ox that the Mazik admits to. In other words, if the Nizik can't collect from the big ox, at least he could then collect from the small ox. So says the Gemara, Halo Maisi Raya Shakil Kediyamar Mazik. So the inference is that if he doesn't bring a Raya, that it was the big ox that did the damage, then at least he gets to collect from the ox that the Mazik admits did the damage, i.e. the small ox. But says the Gemara, Amai, why should this be the case? Chitin v'sorin inu. It should be a case of chitin and sorin because the hodah was not mimenataina. The Niza claims that the large ox did the damage. The Mazik, when he says the small ox did the damage, as if he's saying, no, it wasn't the large ox, it was the small ox. But you can't view the small ox versus the large ox as a case of moda b'miksas. This is in disagreement as to which of the animals did the goring. The mazik does not admit anything of what the nizak claims. Says the Gemara, well, oh, so you're right. Roy litol ve'enlo. What it means is that really if he doesn't bring a raya, then it's as if roy litol, then he should get something. Why should he get something? Because at the end of the day, his ox was damaged. But ve'enlo, but he can't get anything. Why can't he get anything? Because of the statement, because of the principle of Rabba Bar Nassan, who says that Tano Chitin v'hodu lo b'sorin is going to be putter, because over here you don't have Odomi Minataina. So says the Gemara, how could you really tell me that Roy Lito v'enlo? Vatanya, it says in the Braisa, Reza Mitshalim ala katan min agadol ula gadol min akatan. We see expressly that if the Nizak can't bring a raya, that it was the large ox that damaged the large and the small that damaged the small, then he basically collects the damage to the large ox from the small ox, and the damage to the small ox from the large ox. Over here, we're not talking about being roy to collect damage. We're talking about actually collecting damage. But why does he actually collect damage? It should be like a case of tano lebchitin v'hodu lebesorin, and it should be potter. Says the Gemara to Tafas. We're talking about a case where he is toe-face. Where he actually grabs the oxen. And since the Nizik is now in possession of the oxen, that's why he gets compensated. And Tfisa makes a difference because you can't forfeit. And again, what's the whole basis for saying that by Tana Labachitin Vodu Labasorin your Pater? It's because the admission was from something that the claimant already forfeited, because when the claimant says it was the other thing that did the damage, the admission is worthless. But over here, you can't say the claimant forfeited his right to collect the damage from the small ox because he grabbed them both. And you only forfeit something that you grabbed if you're mafkir it. He wasn't mafkir anything. Therefore, he never forfeited the right to collect from even the small ox. And that's why in the case of Tafas, he could collect even from the small ox. But in a regular case, no, he cannot collect from the small ox. So says the Gemara Vayter, Haya echad tam ve'echad mu'ad. If one was a tam, one was a mu'ad. And izik amar mu'ad izik es agadol v'tam es akatan. Ve'amazik amar lo ki ela tam es agadol u'mu'ad es akatan. Now we say, amotzi mechavero olav haraya. So it says, amotzi mechavero olav haraya. So the Nizik wants to say that the mu'ad gored the large ox because the damage to his large ox is greater. And by mu'ad, we know one of the differences between a mu'ad and tam is that a mu'ad pays may aliyah, not only may gufo. A tam rather only pays may gufo, and therefore the damage that it's going to be liable for is going to be capped. But the mashmos is holomosi raya. If the nizik doesn't bring a raya, then shakel kadamar mazik. Then he at least gets paid as the mazik admits. In other words, that at least he would get to collect from the damage to the large shor from the shor tam, and to the small shar from the shar muad, which is what the mazik says. But says the Gemara, why? Va'amai chitin esorin inu. This again is a case of chitin and sorin. Because the two shvarim, the shar tam and the shar muad, you can't say that when the mazik makes an admission, he's being moda b'miksas. They're arguing about which of the two entities was responsible for the damage. So says the Gemara again over here. It says roy litol ve'ein lo. It means that he's roy to collect, but he can't collect. Tosfos explains over here, based on what the Gemara just said, Roy Litol im Tafas. If he grabbed the two Shvarim, then he's going to collect at least the way the Mazik said, at least that he's going to get the damage to his big Shor from the Shor Tam, and to his small Shor from the Shor Muad. But if he was not Tafas, if he wasn't Tofes, then the Einlo, because it's not a Hodah, Mimin Hataina. Says the Gemara, Vatanya Reza Mishchale Mitlakatan Minamuad. How can you tell me Roy Litol Veinlo? We have another brisa that talks explicitly about paying, about the actual payment that's made. And this is where Tosfos gets it. So here's the answer to Tafas. Again, we're talking about the Tafas. So that's why Tosfos explains when it said Roy Litol Veinlo, it never actually meant that he actually gets it. It means Roy Litol, that he gets the payment only in Tafas, because then he never forfeits his claim to the other shore. However, if he's not Tofes, then he forfeits his claim to the other shore. Then we're left with the Odah that's She'ino Mimin Hataina, and the Mazik is then going to be Pater from paying altogether. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, now finishing up this parak. If they both belong to the same person, then both Shvarim are going to be Chayav. So right now, the Gemara understands that Shneim Chayavin means that the Nizak can collect. That means that if the Nizak's ox was damaged by two oxen of the Mazik that were running after it, and both of them are a Shor Tam, then when we say Shneim Chayavin, it means that the Nizak can collect from either of the oxen that were a Tam, whichever one he wants. So that's the Havamin of the Gemara as of now. So says the Gemara, Amar Le Rava Me Parzika Le Rav Ashi, Shmamino Shvarim Tamim Sheziku Rotsim Izegova, Rotsim Izegova. So we see that if you have Shvarim Tamim, if you have two Shor Tams that do damage, and they're both in front of us, if he wants to collect from either one, he could collect from either one. And therefore, if one of them is lost, then the Nizak can collect from the other one, because he could collect from either one, he wants. So says the Gemara. So hachavamayaskinan b'muadin. So over here we're talking about a sharmuad that is not mishalem egufo, but it's only mishalem mina aliyah, and it's like a regular obligation. So says the Gemara, well, Ibn Mu'adin, if we're talking about a Sharmuad, Sa'ima Seifa, Haya Echad Gadol Vechad Katan, Hanizikamar Gadol Hizik, Vamazikamar Lokiela Katan Hizik, Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Araya, then what we say in the Mishnah doesn't make any sense, because Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Araya, we're talking about the Nizak having to prove which of the oxen did the damage to his ox. Was it the large ox or was it the small ox? But says the Gemara, whether it was the large ox or the small ox that did the damage to the Nizak's ox only makes a difference if the oxen that did the damage was a Shor Tam, because then you collect only Megufo and it's a Nafka Mina, because if the small ox did the damage, the amount that you could collect, the Chatzi Nizak Megufo, is going to be less than if it were the big ox. It says the Gemara, Ibn Muadin, my Nafka Le Mine. Sof to Meitur Ma'alya Boy Lishlume. But if we're dealing with Shar Muad, so what's the Nafkamina? Why are they arguing about whether it was the large ox or the small ox that did the damage? The Shar Muad has to pay Min Aliyah, he has to pay from the choice property whatever the amount of the damage is, and therefore it shouldn't make a difference whether it was the large ox or the small ox that did the goring. So says the Gemara, Amrlay Seifa Batamin Varesha Bamuadin. Yep. The Seifa, when it talks about collecting from either one, is by when it talks about arguing over which of the oxen did the damage, is by a Shor Tam. But the Reisha, when it talks about being able to collect from either one, is talking about a Shor Muad. So Amar Le Rav Acha, Saba Le Rav Ashi, so Ibn Muadin. But if we're dealing with a case of Shor Muad, in the case of the Seifa where it says that if they both belong to one person, then Shneim Chayavin, which means that you could collect from either one. So says the Gemara, well, then the language is not precise. Chayavim should it really say chayavim, which is mashma that the shvarim are chayav? It's not the oxen that are chayav. Chayav gavrami boile. Again, the responsibility, the liability to pay for the damage done by a shermuad is from the me'aliyah, is from the choice properties, which is an obligation that rests on the individual. It's not an obligation that is unique or that goes with the shor. It's not like you collect megufo. So says the Gemara Vesu, and further, my shneim. So what does it mean that shneim chayavin? It's not that the both oxen are chayiv. We're just talking about collecting a basic obligation if it's a sharmuad. So says the Gemara, el liyolam b'tamin. Really, we are talking about a shartam. And Rashi says over here, that v'hai diktani, the second to last Rashi on the perek, v'hai diktani shneim lav kedika amrit me'ezi shir to yigba. And when we said shneim chayevin, it doesn't mean like we initially interpreted that you could collect from either one you want, from any one you want. Ela ha'kamash v'lan dekoz man sheshneim b'faneinu gove, avalo echad eino gove. That the only time you could collect is if both of the oxen are present in front of us. But if both of the oxen are not present in front of us, then you are not able to collect. Why not? Rav Akiva, and it's the shita of Rav Akiva, the Amar Shutfininu. And it's Rav Akiva who says that the Mazik and the Nizik become Shutfin in the, because they become Shutfin in the Guf HaShar, in the Guf HaShar Tam, and therefore, says Rashi, if one of them is lost, then he loses his ability, to collect the Nezek. And therefore, it's only when they are both there that the Mazik is going to be chayiv to pay, because there's an argument over which of the Shvarim is responsible for the damage. Since the Mazik and the Nizik are considered Shutfin, the Mazik is only liable for the damage to the Nizik if both of the animals are there. The time of this Nulu Tavayu, the Lomasi Matchile, because now you can't push them off on the other shore. Of a less Nulu Tavayu, Masiomerle, Zilai Siraya, the Haitu Razkoch Veshalimloch. However, when both of them are not there, then the Mazik never has to pay. Why does the Mazik never have to pay? Because he could always tell the Nizik, he could always be Docha the Nizik by saying, look, this animal that you want to collect from is not the animal that we have a Shutfas in, and therefore, go get the other one, or basically go bring a Raya that it was this one that did the damage, and I'll pay you. Says Rashi, this is only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that they become Shutfin in the ox. According to Rabbi Yishmael, who says that they're a Balchov, and they have a Balchov relationship, and the Mazik can satisfy the obligation simply by paying a Chov, then the Mazik can't be Matcha the Nizik by saying, look, they're not both here, because I don't care whether they're both here or not. It's a monetary obligation, and so long as there's something there from which the obligation could be collected, it's enough for the Nizik to demand payment. Okay, so says the so that Hanjron Alocha Meniach, that concludes the third parak. Now on to the fourth parak over here. So Shar Shanagach Arba V'Chamisha Shvarim Zeacharzeh. If you have a shar that gores four or five oxen one after the other, and Rashi sets up the case that they're all that we're dealing with a shor tam as to all of these oxen. Now, how's it possible that the shor, again, a tam, we'll see a machlokas, there is a machlokas in this mesechta, whether a shor becomes a muad on the third goring or on the fourth goring. But certainly, by the fourth goring, according to everybody, it would be a muad. And if that's the case, how's it possible that the shor tam is goring four or five oxen, one after the other, already by the fourth ox for sure, or maybe even by the third, it should already become a shor muad? So Rashi explains that we have to set up the case that it's not that every time it sees another ox, it gores. It's that it sees an ox, it gores. It sees an ox, it doesn't gore. Then it sees a third ox, it gores. It sees a fourth and a fifth ox, it doesn't gore. And Rashi sets it up carefully like that, because we'll see later in this perek that there's a concept of muad l'seirigin. Just like there's a concept of a shor muad who's muad to gore every time it sees an ox, there's also a concept of a shor that is muad to gore in a pattern. In that, if it would gore every other time it sees an ox, that would also render it a muad. But whatever the case is, it gores oxen in a pattern that avoids it ever becoming a muad. So it's a short time whenever it gores any of these animals. So says the Mishnah, Yishalim la'achron shebehem. Then you pay the last nizak, the chasi nezek megufo, and if there was any leftover, and if there's going to be any leftover after you pay the chatzi nezek megufo to the last one, then yachzer shalafanav lishalafanav. Then the immediately preceding nizak, then the second to last nizak gets paid. Vimyesh b'moser, and if there's going to be leftover after the second guy gets paid, then yachzer lishalaf nefanav. Then you pay even the third to last nizak. Via achron achron nischar divrei Rameir. Rameir says that the last one, the last nizak, is always the one who is going to be made whole. That's what Rameir says. Now, Rabbi Shimon says that it's not that the last one, that it's not that the last one is just totally made whole. Rabbi Shimon is going to say that the owner of the shor and the nizak are partners in the shor tam, and therefore the original nizak must bear a share of the damage of the payments to the subsequent nizakin. And that's why Rav Shimon is coming to explain, that's why the last one is always going to get paid in full, and each of the prior nizakin are going to be out. They're going to be short something, because they bear a partial responsibility of making the nezek payment to the last one. So we'll explain right now. So the Mishnah sets up a case like this. Shor shavim asayim, you have an ox that was worth 200, shenagach l'shor shavim asayim, that gores another ox that was worth 200, vein on nevela yafek klum, and the nevela is not worth anything, good. So we have a case where the nezek is $200, chasi nezek is $100. The ox that did the damage is worth $200. So it's a very easy case mathematically. Zen el tamana v'zen el tamana. The mazik takes 100, the nizik takes 100, so the nizik gets chatzi nezek. Now, according to Rav Shimon, the mazik and the nizik now become partners in that shor tam. Chazar v'nagach shor acher. Therefore, if the shor tam now gores another shor, shavim asayim, another shor that's worth $200, so achron no talmaneh. So the last guy, in other words, the last nizik is going to take a money. That's his chatzi nezek. Now, who's responsible for paying the nizik his money? And, says the Gemara, Mishel Afanov, and among those before him, in other words, as between the mazik and the original nizik, zenotel chamishim zuz, v'zenotel chamishim zuz. That basically, the first nizik has to take half of his 100 that he received and give it over to the second nizak, and the mazik has to take 100 of his that was left and give it over to the second nizak. Because says Rav Shimon that the first nizak, because he becomes a partner with the mazik in the ox, he's also chayiv in the shmira of the ox. And therefore, if the ox then goes and gores another person, or another ox rather, they both have to contribute towards the ultimate payment that's received by that's going to be received by the last nizak. So says the Mishnah Vayter, Chazar v'nagach shor acher shavim asayim. Let's say after it gores a second time, now it gores a third time, another ox that's worth 200. Now achron no talmaneh. Again, the last guy is always going to get his chatzi nezek, because he's always entitled to chatzi nezek, and all of the people who came before him are all considered to be shutfin in the ox. So v'shalafanav chamishim zuz, and the one who comes before him will get a total of chamishim zuz. He'll retain a $25 interest. He'll basically retain his own $25 interest and get a $25 interest from the mazik. V'shnayim rishonim dinar zav. And the shnayim rishonim, in other words, the mazik and the first nizik, will be left only with 25. And again, it makes sense because you have the last guy who needs to get 100, the second to last guy who had 100 has to give up half of his take in order to make the last guy whole because he was a partner. And then the first guy, who was left with 50 after the ox gored a second time, now is going to lose again half of his value in the shor, and now he's going to be left with 25. So in other words, you could start off getting 100, which is your chatzi nezek, but because you're a partner in the shor, and because you are now responsible for any further damage that the shor does, the more that the shor damages, the last guy is always going to be made in full, and your ultimate payment that you receive is going to go down and down and down. Okay, so says the Gemara, Says the Gemara now. So, Masnisen money, who's our Mishnah like? Delok Rabbi Shmuel, Velok Rabbi Akiva. So we're trying to establish our Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva, it appears, who says that the Mazik and the Nizak are partners in the ox. But if you read the Mishnah carefully, and Rabbi Shmuel again said, remember that they're not partners in the ox, rather it's only a monetary obligation, the Nizak has no tefis on the ox altogether. But says the Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't really fit neatly into either of these shitos. Why? Because Ikar Rabbi Shmuel, if it's like Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Balei Chovos, then we say that they're Balei Chovos. So hi Achron Niskar. Why do we say that the principle is that the last one is always going to be the one who's going to be made whole, and each of the prior Nizakin are going to be short a little bit on the Nezek that they're owed? Risha Niskar Mi Balei. If it's like Rabbi Shmuel, and if it's like a case, and if they're really Balei Chov, then a Bal Chov is Balei Chov are ranked in accordance with the order of their priority. How's priority determined? Priority is determined by a Bal Chov by first in time. So if really it's a Bal Chov relationship, then the Bal Chov who was damaged first should always be made whole. And then each subsequent Bal Chov should have to take a hit on the amount that he would otherwise be owed. So it should be the reverse. Rashi just explains over here that you may recall a couple of days ago on Daf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara said that if there's a Bal Chov, even if his debt preceded the Nizak, then he must yield to the Nizak, and he can't collect from the ox even if his debt preceded the Nezek. Over there, Rashi explains that's only because the guy was a general Bal Chov who could collect from all of the other Nechasim of the Mazik. So if you have a Bal Chov who could collect from general Nechasim, and then you have this guy who could collect only from the Shar, then the Bal Chov has to yield the Shar to the one who can only collect from the Shar. But over here, they're all Balei Chovos, but they're all Balei Chovos who only have any recourse to the Shar. And therefore, we should apply the regular din of a Bal Chov. And the regular din of a Bal Chov is that the first in time has priority. So says the Gemara, and Ikar Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Turi de Sheshvayinu, the Turi de Sheshvayu, and if it's going like Rabbi Akiva, who says that the Mazik and the Nizak are considered to be Shutfin and the Oxen, so Ha Yeshba Mosar Yachzer Lishalfanov, if it's Yeshba Mosar Yachzer Lishalfanov, we said in the Mishnah that if there is any excess after the last one is made whole, then the excess flows to the one before him. It's not only Shalfanov, it's Lekulami Bai. It should go to everybody in front of him. In other words, why? Because everybody is responsible for their percentage ownership in the Shar. And so they each have to contribute ratably to the last guy to make sure that the last guy is paid in full, like we explained in the Mishnah. And so if there's any overage, if there's any excess, it doesn't only go to the immediately preceding Nizak. It goes to every Nizak that was preceding, and the Mazik, because they each have a percentage ownership in the Shar, and they each contributed pro rata to the damage payment that was made to the last guy. So says the Gemara. So Amar Rava. So Amar Rava. Liolam Krabi Shmuel. Really, it's like Rabbi Shmuel. The Amar Balei Chovos. Nenu, who said that they are Balei Chovos. Ud Kakashal on Achron Niskar. Rishon Niskar Mi Boile. And when we ask in that case, why does the Mishnah say that the rule is that the last in time gets paid in full? It should be the first in time who's getting paid in full. It's because we're dealing with a case over here where you're right. Usually it should be the first one who gets taken out in full. But over here, the first Nizak jumped the gun and was actually toe-faced the ox so as to collect from it. And therefore, Nasa Lav Kishomer Sachar L'Nizakin. And therefore the Nizak is going to be made as a Shomer Sachar, and says Rashi, that's why this Nizak Dafka, where he was toe-faced the ox, is going to be fully responsible for the damage to the next Nizak. That's why it's the Achron that's Nischar and not the Rishon that's Nischar. Because over here we're dealing with a case, even though they are Balei Chov, where the first guy went ahead and was toe-faced the ox. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, Yeshba Moser Yachzer Lishalfanov, but if that's the case, if the Nizak was a Shomer Sachar, so he is solely responsible for the damage that the ox caused, So why does it say in the Mishnah that if there's any excess after the last guy's paid in full, then it goes, and the excess goes to the one before him? Yachzer labalimi boile. It should say that it goes labalim. It should go back to the owner. It shouldn't go back to the nizak, because the original nizak was a shomer sachar who's chayiv in the shmira. So it should go back to the balim. Says the Gemara, Amaravina Hachiktani. Well, this is what we mean to say. Im yeshba mosar benizkav, if there is excess damage, then yachzar l'shalfanav. Then it goes to the one, then it goes to the one before him. So in other words, if the payment due to the last nizak is less, Yeshba Moser Beniskov Yachzer L'Shalfanav. So what does this mean? So Tosfos is, if you look in Tosfos, is the best way to explain this. Second Tosfos on the page. So it says Tosfos, V'hashta Achron Achron Niskar, and now the last one is going to be Niskar, Demas Nisana Achron Shebekulan Hu HaChamishi Koi. So let's say that the last one is the fifth one that was damaged. There could be a situation where the last one is going to be paid in full, the fourth guy is going to get nothing, and the third guy is going to get something. How's this the case? It could be the case where the nezek, where the damage caused to the fourth and fifth shvarim are equal, and the damage caused to the third one is greater than the damage caused to the fourth and the fifth shvar. Va'filu chamishi nami pamim she'en lo kol nizko, im nizkav yaseirin ala ravi, she'en notel ele chelko shel ravi, umiyu kishakolan nizkan shavim kulum afsidim ve'achron nizkar. So basically, Tosfos is saying that the only time that the rule in our Mishnah works perfectly is if the damage to all of the Shvarim is equal. And that's why the Mishnah set up the case that it was always a shor worth 200, goring another shor worth 200, and the damage was always 200. But if the damage is different, then it could be that the third guy could get, but not the fourth guy, or so on and so forth. So says the Gemara of Eiter, now back in the Gemara, V'chin ki yasa ravin amar Rav Yochanan mishom shia shomrim naguba, that what we're dealing is with a case of shia shomrim, and it's mashma, but and that's why Rabbi Shmuel would say that achron niskar, even though really they're balei chov, it's because we're dealing with a case of shia shomrim, because the nizuk went ahead and was tofes the ox, and therefore he becomes a shomer sachar, and he's chayev to guard the ox. So says the Gemara, b'mayu kimtik, Rabbi Shmuel, but now you've established a mission like Rabbi Shmuel, but if that's the case, ema seifa, look at the seifa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, shor shava mesayim, shenokach shor shava mesayim, v'ena nevela yefek klum, zenu tomone, v'zenu tomone, chazar v'gava, chazar v'nogach, shor achar shava mesayim, ha'achronu tomone, v'shalafon avzenu tochamishim, v'zenu tochamishim, zuz, chazar v'nogach, shor shava mesayim, ha'achronu tomone, v'shalafon avnotel, chamishim zuz, v'shnayim rishonem dinar zav, ason l'Rabbi Akiva, d'yomar turi d'shutfoininu, ohu. But now the seifa of the Mishnah is obviously going like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that the nizak and the mazik are shutfin, and therefore they each bear the burden of the damage pro rata, proportionate to their ownership in the shar. So now, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, V'Seifa Rabbi Akiva. So you establish the Reisha of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel, but the Seifa of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Could that be right? So Amri in the Amar Le Shmuel, the Rabbi Yehuda Shinin Hashvok Masnisim V'Sabas Roy. Because yet, yeah, like Shmuel explained to Rabbi Yehuda, leave the Mishnah. Don't try to interpret the Mishnah as going only according to one Mandi Amar. Follow my interpretation, which is Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, V'Seifa Rabbi Akiva. So we see that we can interpret the Mishnah, the Reisha, to be talking like Rabbi Shmuel. The Seifa is going like Rabbi Akiva. Now, the Gemara switches gears a little bit, so it's not hasam. So says the Gemara, Tokei l'chaveiro, if a guy is tokea to his friend, what does it mean he's tokea? Rashi quotes two shitos. One is that he hits the guy near his ear. The second is that he literally takes a trumpet or he takes a shofar and goes and blows a loud sound into the guy's ear, so he damages his hearing. So nosen lo sela, he has to pay him a sela. Rashi explains that the sela is Demei Boshes, because he embarrassed him. But the Tsar Nezek and Ripui is whatever it is, basically. But the Sela is going to be a Boshes fine. It's going to be a fine for Boshes. The Mukhi Yosef understands that the Sela covers not only Boshes, but is also a fine for the Tsar. Okay, but in any event, Tekei l'Kavero, he has to pay a Sela. Rav Yehuda Amar Mishum Rav Yosi Aglili Mane. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav Yosi Aglili, it's not a Sela, it's 100, it's a Mane. Sahu Gavra, there was a guy that took a lechavre, that he was tokea to his friend. So Sholchi Rav Tuvia Bar Masna lekamei to Rav Yosef. So Rav Tuvia Bar Masna sent to Rav Yosef, and Rashi and the Shaila was like this: Sela Tsuri Tanan or Sela Medina Tanan. When we said a Sela, does it mean a Tyrian Sela or a Sela Medina? What's the difference? A Sela Tsuri is much more valuable than a Sela Medina. A Sela Tsuri is worth 4 zuz, and that's the quote biblical Sela, and the Sela Medina is worth only a half a zuz. So the Sela Tsuri is basically worth 8 times as much as a Sela Medina. So he said, when you said a Sela, which one did you mean? Rashi explains that over here we're dealing with a case where the Nizek sees property belonging to the Mazik, and that's why we could collect, and that's why we were dealing with a case of Knas altogether. If not, then Rav Yossi wouldn't have been able to facilitate the collection of a Knas, because Rav Yosef was in Bavel, and in Bavel they don't, and in Bavel based in ordinarily doesn't assess a Knas. But the Kasha is it a Sela Tsuri or is it a Sela Medina? So Amar Lei Tanitua, what we learned in the Brisa already, what we already learned in the Mishnah rather, Bishnayim Rishonim Dinar Zav. And this is quoting from our Mishnah, that if you have the ox that gores a bunch of oxen, the last one always gets out in full, and each other one bears their pro rata share of the damage, so that the original Nizek and the Mazik are going to be left with 25 zuz. Now, Visal Kadaitach Tani Tana Sela Medina, but if you wanted to say that when the Mishnah talks about the Nezek, talks about the damages, it's talking not in denominations of Sela Tsuri, but also in denominations of Sela Medina, which are worth less, and therefore you could divide the pro rata damages into smaller numbers. So Niflag Venisni at Tresar Fasela. So why don't we argue up until Tresar Zuz Visela, which is a half Zuz. So why don't we argue, like, why don't we even discuss that case? So it's obvious, therefore, that we're talking about a Sela Tsuri, not a Sela Medina. Says the Gemara, no Raya. Amar Lei, Tanaki, Ruchla Lisni Velezel. Does the Tana have to necessarily go and explain every single case and get down to the lowest divisible case dealing with a Sela? No. So my Havi Eloi. So we tried to bring a Raya for a mission. We were unsuccessful. What was the bottom line? Pashtua Miyadi Amar Rav Yehuda, so they solved it from that which Rav Yehuda said, Amar Rav, Kol Kesef Amar B'Torah, Kesef Tsuri, all monetary obligations that are written in the Torah are paid with Kesef Tsuri, Vishel Devrayim, and those which are midrabanan, like over here, where it's the Rabbanan who imposed the fine of a Sela for Boshes, according to Rashi, for being Tokea to his friend, is going to be Kesef Medina. That's only going to be Kesef Medina. So Amar Lei Ahu Gavra, so the guy said, Ho Lepalga Dezuzahu, Lo Bina Nisfilaniya. So the guy's a big shot. He says, well, if it was a Sela Tsuri, which is 4 Zuz, then I would have taken the payment. But if it's a Sela Medina, which is only a half Zuz, no thank you, I'm not interested. I don't need this half Zuz. I don't need this half Zuz. Give it to the Aniyim. Hadar Amar Lei Nisfinile Ezel V'Avri Bein Afshoi. Then he had Charata. He said, you know what? On second thought, maybe I will take the half Zuz. I'd use it to refresh myself, to gain admission to the bathhouse, or whatever it is. So Amar Lei Rav Yosef, too late. Kvar Zochu Be Aniyim. The Aniyim were already Zocha. You said it should be given to the Aniyim. The Aniyim were Zocha. V'Alfa Gav Delek Aniyim Hacha. Aye, how are the Aniyim Zocha? There are no Aniyim here. So Anan Yad Aniyim Anan. So said Rav Yosef, I'm the Yad Aniyim. I am the Gabai Tzedakah, and therefore I am Zocha on behalf of the Aniyim. Yom Rav Yudam or Shmuel, like Rav Yudah says in the name of Shmuel, Yisomim ain't a Tzrichim Prusbul. Yisomim don't require a Prusbul. Why? The whole concept of Prusbul is that you're like Moser Shtaros of Lebastin, so there's not an Isser of Loyigos, there's no Isser of you pressing the Lovev for collection of the debt because the shtar is given to Basin, but Yisomim don't need Basin. Why? Because Rav Gamliel and his Basin are the Aviyam Shal Yisomim. There's a machlokas whether this literally means that Basin acts as a yad for the Yisomim, the same way the Gabai Tzedakah acts for a yad of the Aniyim, or if they're not, if the Gemara is not drawing a direct parallel, but just drawing an analogy, just like the Gabbai acts on behalf of the Aniyim, so too the Basin acts on behalf of the Yesomin. Let's just finish up until the Mishnah. Chanan Bisha Tokalelohu Gavra. Chanan Bisha, Chanan the Rasha was Tokea to a certain guy. Also Lakame to Rav Huna. He came to Rav Huna. Amarle Zil Havle Palga Dezuza. Go give him a half of a zuz. In other words, go give him a sella medina. So havele zuz amaka, but Chanan Bisha only had a worn out zuz. So boy le misvele mine palga de zuzo lo avi mishtokale. He wanted to go change his dollar into quarters so he could pay the guy 50 cents. He wanted to change his zuz into two half zuzin that he could pay the guy. So, but he couldn't find anybody to give him change. So tukale achrina v'yavnele. So he went and hit him again, and then he was chay of him two half zuzin. So now he was chay of a full zuz. So from here we learn a couple of things. We learn that the halacha is like the Tana Kama, that the payment for striking somebody is a sela, not a money, not like the other shita that we have. We also learn that a sela is a sela medina, which is a half zuz, and we also learn that the nizah can't refuse to receive payments from a worn out sela, that you could even pay him with a worn out sela. So Rabbi Leibowitz is actually back tomorrow. I'm out of town, but he's in town on his way to California, so he will pick up, God willing, from the Mishnah on top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph tomorrow. I will be back, God willing, on Friday morning.